We're going to begin reading with 31, verse 31, and this is the veil. We've got to get through the veil before we can get into the Holy of Holies. Exodus 26, verse 31. Thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work. With cherubim shall it be made, and thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, upon the four sockets of silver. Thou shalt hang up the veil under the tax, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. Thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And thou shalt set the table without the veil, and the candle over against the table on the side of the tabernacle towards the south, and thou shalt put the table on the north side. We'll end the reading with that and begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this precious, precious word. It's so exciting, Father, as we begin to read the verses of Scripture concerning our doctrine, the stand that this church makes. And Father, it's becoming more and more, on the outside, folks do not want the Word of God. Father, we will never leave the Word of God, and guide and lead us, Father, so that we don't veer from it, that we stay right upon your truth always. Thank you for the Word today. Thank you for the beautiful pictures that we have of this tabernacle and the connection now that we're going to make back into the book of Hebrews. And so please, without question, that this is all about, Father, your Son, the Lord Jesus, and what he does for us and in our lives that are with that. So guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The veil. The veil is located. This is the courtyard, brazen altar, brazen laver. There's a veil here, brings you into the holy place. But there's another veil here, and that veil here is a veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. It's the same veil that you see down here in the bigger picture. And so in order to get anywhere near this location, you first need to confess your sin, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the work of changing our lives and making us more like the Lord Jesus begins then at the brazen laver. Brass always stands for judgment, and that's what it's doing. It's kind of judging your life and making you more like the Lord Jesus. The brass, the brazen altar is also because that's where sin was dealt with. And so it too speaks of judgment. Judgment. Now we come through, and because we have been to the cross, we're born again, because we have started this cleansing process, which is done, and we tend to that all of our life. And then we come into the holy place, and we begin to feed upon the Word. And that's what we do in Sunday school and Bible study. That's what you do at home. You feed upon the Word of God, and you begin to grow. And we can do that because the day that we were born again, the Holy Spirit came to live within us. The scripture verses that we read this morning in our Constitution spoke very clearly of that, and how that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and now we have the opportunity to understand the Word of God because of that precious Spirit. And so we're feeding upon the Word of God by the light of the lampstand, which has the oil, stands for the Holy Spirit. Just continue to go through these things. Now we have the incense altar, the prayer altar, and we spent quite a bit of time concerning the Lord's Prayer in both sections of the Scripture and in John and in Matthew as well. And so now we've got ourselves to the veil, and our prayers are going through that veil. Well, how are our prayers going through that veil? It's because that veil has been removed by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason when you pray that you pray in Jesus' name, because we always go through the Lord Jesus to get to God the Father. Right here is the Holy of Holies. The whole process, the courtyard, the tabernacle, all the furniture in the tabernacle, all of its purpose, all the offerings, all the sacrifices that were brought to this facility for all those years was for one purpose. God said, I'm going to come and I'm going to build a place. I'm going to have you build me a place where I can meet with you. You're going to meet with me and I'm going to meet with you. And that's right here. Now, all this process is so that you can meet with them. If you think you can pray to God without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, you're praying to your God, but your God's a devil. Because until you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are not praying to Jehovah God, the maker of this world, creator of the world, the Savior of the world. So please, be born again. Come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're at the veil. We're right here now. And we're going to take a look at some verses of Scripture. We read the construction of it, how the colors, the beautiful colors, the embroidered cherubims, angels that are embroidered on this. We have gold walls. We have the embroidered here. We have the embroidered here. And we have the white linen ceiling that's embroidered. And so that's where we're at. We're standing right here. We're lifting up our prayers unto God the Father. How can we do that? And that's what we're going to see today. And so now we're at the veil. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. We write these scriptures down for you, number one, so you can use them as a scratch paper to make notes as you choose, but also that you can take it home and study again if you want to. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning to read with verse 19. Now listen very carefully after the instruction that we just heard here of where that veil is. Now look at verse 19, Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, speaking of believers, boldness to enter into the holiest, going through that veil, the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's how we're getting there. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for you and for me. And so it comes right there. Enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Look at verse 20. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. That veil for a believer has been removed. And by prayer, we can go right through the Son, the Lord Jesus, right to God the Father. This building, this picture that we have is the most beautiful picture that we can have of our relationship with our God. It helps us to physically see what steps must be taken for us to get to that point and understand that the whole purpose of this building was for the Jewish people, for the first time ever, to have a place where they could bring their sacrifice and bring their offering, and then they could go right in and enjoy the fellowship, the washing, the fellowship over the Word of God, and then go right into the Holy of Holies. But that could not take place until the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again. That could not take place. Before then, only one day a year. And that day is the Day of Atonement. It was a feast day, the Day of Atonement. The offering was brought. In this case, it was two goats. They cast lots to see which goat was left alive, which goat was to put to death. The one that God chose, he put that goat to death. He captured that blood, the high priest, not just a standard priest, not just the regular priest, the high priest. He had special responsibilities. He would take that blood and he would go past the laver. He would go into the holy place through the veil into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle that blood seven times across the mercy seat. And that's the only thing that made that a mercy seat, was the application of the blood. Now, let's go back to verse 19 of chapter 10 of Hebrews. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see, the only one that could ever go in there was the high priest. A regular priest could never go in there. The high priest couldn't go in there except for that one single day on the Day of Atonement, and he could never go in there without the blood. He had to spread the blood. You think, you know, the blood is kind of an ugly thing. It kind of makes your stomach turn a little bit when you see the blood, when you see someone is cut or something. Well, understand, sin is the ugliest thing there is. Excuse me. And I think that's the life is in the blood. We know that. You know, in our bodies, the life is in the blood. And so we have the same picture with the Lord Jesus. His perfect blood is life, and it's life to you and to me. But you go to the cross of Calvary and you see the Lord Jesus and you see how that he was crucified and beaten and hung on that cross to die. That's what sin does. But it doesn't end there. That's where it should end for you and me. We should be hung on that cross. That's what we should have. That should be you and me. There's not a single person that's ever lived that shouldn't die the worst death we can die because of our sin. And yet Jesus took that sin away, and we have this beautiful picture of the tabernacle, which is the cross of Calvary. Then again, the washing begins because we still have the old flesh. And then we go in and we feed upon the Word of God, and we spend time in fellowship with the Lord, praying to him. And now, because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, we can go right through that veil and right into the presence of God the Father. And we don't have to wait till one day a year. We don't have to wait for a certain hour. You don't have to wait for some man of God, some priest or somebody to intercede for you. You yourself, as a believer in Jesus Christ, can go right to the laver, right into the holy place and enjoy the feeding upon the Word of God, and then right through that veil, because the Lord Jesus has taken your place, and you can go right to God the Father. Now, if this high priest would go on any other day, he would drop over dead. If he would go in any other manner, if he would go without the blood, he would drop over dead. Because you see, the importance is the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Once again, let's read this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Not this old way. Not the old high priest going in once a year with the blood of an animal. No more. Through the veil, that is to say his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, the Lord Jesus Christ has taken the place. He is the perfect high priest. He is our high priest. As the line of Aaron, the Levitical line, was where the high priestly line had to come through, and they destroyed it through the years. They left it, but that was God's plan, and it had to be a certain line, a certain person on a certain day, and the only day they could go into that Holy of Holies was on the Day of Atonement with the blood. And then he would come back out and he'd take those bloody hands and he'd lay it on the head of the live goat, confessing the sins of the nation of Israel. And that goat was led away up into the hill, never to return again. That's exactly what happens to your sin and mine. But you see, the Lord Jesus did that for us. Not a goat could do it. Not a bullock or a calf or any such animal could ever take away our sin. That's the reason they had to do it every year. Year after year after year. And that's the reason you have to just keep bringing your offerings and bringing your sacrifices. But the day that Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and died on that cross, took your sin away. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and please, please save me. Save me. And now, because of the faith that you had in Jesus Christ to take away your sin and to save you, you can go right through that veil, right into the Holy of Holies, right into the throne of God. We have that wonderful opportunity. On with this reading. Verse 22. So, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, and that pure water is the Word of God. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Never miss an opportunity to be in the house of God with other believers. We have in that text there, you'll notice in the beginning of verse 22, let us draw near. In verse 23, let us hold fast. And in verse 24, provoke unto love, to good works. Before the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, the sign on this veil said, keep out. Said, no trespassers. Nope, no one could go through that veil except the high priest on one single day a year, only with the blood of this goat. No admission. Then a term that you hear, and that is the fullness of time has come. The fullness of time has come for 6,000 years. They were waiting for the day that the Messiah would come and would take away your sin. They waited 4,000 years, and then comes the birth of the Lord Jesus. He came to the cross of Calvary. The sad thing is that the Jews missed it. They're still looking for him. They're still looking for him. So for them, it's been 6,000 years. That's the reason that you're finding that they're returning back to Jerusalem. God's going to call them back, and during the tribulation period, which is the next event on God's calendar, he's going to see thousands upon thousands of Jews finally saved. He's sending 144,000 missionaries to reach the Jewish nation. But how sad is that? That this was built for the Jews to meet God. And they're still waiting on him. They're still waiting on him. Now, I hope that you saw the Lord Jesus when the day that you met him at the cross of Calvary, because 2,000 years ago, Jesus finished the work. And they knew it, because something happened on that day when he cried out, "It is finished." Now let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Verse 50. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 50. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yield up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. What happened the day that Jesus said, "It's finished"? This precious veil, this barrier, this curtain that said no trespassing, God said, "I'm going to take care of that." And he grabbed a hold of that thing, and he took it from the top to the bottom, and he ripped it completely in two. That was the end. That was the last day that an offering should ever be brought to that brazen altar. That's the last day that the high priest was to come up and flip the coin and figure out which goat would die and which goat would be left alive. That was the last time that the goat should have been put to death and taken that blood and went in on the Day of Atonement, because all that was finished. When he said it's finished, it is finished. All that constant bringing of the offerings and the sacrifice is no longer needed, because it is finished. It is done for. It's complete. Never to do it again, because Jesus died on the cross. He took your sins away. He took my sin away. Why did they have to do this year after year? It's because it just covered your sin. But the day Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, it took your sin and my sin away, as it is from the east, from the west, and all you need to do is come by faith to him and say yes. That's all you need to do. Let the Holy Spirit call you. Let the Holy Spirit bring you. He is alive. Top to bottom, it was the work of God to prove that it was finished. God rent the veil of separation from top to bottom and opened up the very way to the Holy of Holies for all that are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Go right into the Holy of Holies to prove it's finished. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 2. We can even start with verse 1. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein, listen to this, was the candlestick, the table, and the showbread, or the showbread, and it's called the sanctuary. That's the holy place. That's the first room. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer. This is the only place it speaks of the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. That's what was inside the Ark of the Covenant. We'll discuss that next week. And so that's what's to come. But it speaks here of this worldly sanctuary. And so as we look at these verses of Scripture, come now verse 6. In the same chapter, Hebrews 9, 6. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. We've talked about this over and over again. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself for the heirs of the people. Now, there was two times the high priest, we really focus on the one time that the high priest goes in. But you see, because the high priest was not perfect, they killed a bullock first. And this high priest had to confess all of his sin. And then he took the blood in and went through the first veil, through the second veil, into the Holy of Holies, and spread that blood seven times across the mercy seat for him. For him. How would you like to have that responsibility? God, please, bring to my mind and memory, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my wrongdoings. Forgive me. And then you're walking in. And tradition says that they tied bells to him. Because if he died, no one could enter in. Because anybody that goes into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement or any other day, if you go in there, you're a dead man. That's where you meet God. You see, we're sinners. We cannot meet a righteous God and live. We can't do it. The only reason we have the right to do it now is because we're going through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Jesus. Jesus saved us, bought us, and the Holy Spirit's within us, and we have the joy and the opportunity of going right to God the Father only through the Son and by the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here in verse 6, now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without the blood which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. And the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. It had not been finished. It had not been completed. Verse 9, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. In other words, no matter what you did, this was temporary. This was temporary. Now, are you beginning to understand why that we have spent so much time with the tabernacle? Because now we're in the New Testament, we're back in the book of Hebrews, and you're seeing all the explanation that Paul is giving concerning the relationship between yourself and the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. And he says, here, you have had this picture for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, you have had the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the life of the believer and how that you can get to God the Father. Now, are you listening? Are you hearing it? Are you paying any attention? And yet, time after time, you ask, what did Moses get when he went up to Mount Sinai? Ask anybody that question you want to, and the single answer is going to be the Ten Commandments, or they may say the law. You say, anything else? Don't think so. Don't think so. If that's where you stop, you're going straight to hell. And every individual that does not know that there's a pathway to be saved, and that pathway is recorded right here. It was given to the Jews so that they could learn it, so they could take it to the lost and dying world. Instead of that, they held on to it themselves. They said, this is ours, this is ours. And then they begin to add all their thoughts and their processes to it, and they lost the total sight of what it is. And so has the church today lost the total purpose of what this is all about. And we're standing at that veil right now. Jesus removed that veil so we can go in to the presence of God. Let's look at verse 11, a couple more verses, and then we'll close with this. Verse 11. But Christ, chapter 9 of Hebrews. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What did our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, do right after he died on the cross of Calvary? He collected his precious blood and he took it home to his Father and said, here, I have finished the work. I have completed. Here, here's my proof. And that's the reason that you can say that you are covered by the precious blood of Jesus. What a joy, what a joy. Slip over to verse 23. Chapter 9. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which is the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. He's saying, I did it once. Now, if you believe that you can lose your salvation, you're putting the Lord Jesus on the cross over and over and over again for dying for your sins. No, he died for your sins once. He died for all of them. Everything that you have committed, everything that you're going to commit, they are gone as far as the east is from the west. Just trust in him. Just believe in him. Verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin for the sacrifice by the sacrifice of himself. tremendous verses of Scripture. Takes the Old Testament Exodus and brings it right to life in the New Testament for us to understand. And if you never would go back and study the tabernacle and have any understanding of it, you'd have no... That's the reason that the book of Hebrews is said to be the most difficult book to study, and it's the least of all the books in the Scripture studied. Why? Because it gives you a perfect picture of Jesus, and the devil don't want you to. He don't want you to see it. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. You've opened a way. You have ripped this curtain in two. And all we need to do is fall on our face and say, Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. And he'll save you. And you're not saved for a day or for a month or for a year. You're saved for eternity. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your saving power. Thank you for the gift of salvation. And thank you for this beautiful picture. We need pictures so we can see it. And then, Father, it just shows us our life and shows us what we need to do every day to stay close to you. And it shows us how we can come and talk to you, dear Father, one-on-one through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Touch every heart today, Father. Speak to them. Speak to all of us, please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.